any questions and you'd like to participate, we'll be talking about self-esteem tonight, please text the cell phone at 801-541-9181. That's 801-541-9181. And we'll do our very best to answer your questions tonight. So welcome to the call. We'll be starting here in just about 30 seconds. So hey, we're about ready to have a wonderful evening together. Live. We're going to give this just a couple of moments for everyone to be able to come on the line. When this goes live, sometimes it takes just a moment for everyone that's on the video to connect properly. So we'll give them just a moment to get back here with us. Welcome tonight to Tuesday night and our celebration of life. It's so good to have you here. I'm looking at the video and it looks like we might be having a little bit of a challenge. Oh good, there the viewers are coming back. We lose them when we first go live with the broadcast. But welcome tonight. We're so glad to have you here. And I know we've got a lot of guests tonight. This is going to be a special presentation. We're going to be talking about self-esteem tonight. I just want to make a couple of announcements that may be helpful. Kevin Hall and I were talking today. Many of you know Kevin is the author of Aspire, Discovering Your Path Through the Power of Words. Tomorrow is Kevin's birthday, and Kevin has invited some dear friends to join him at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, Mountain Time, Mountain Daylight Time, for a special salute to his coaching and what he's doing. It's just such a privilege to be with him tomorrow night. We'll be joined by John Maxwell, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, and so many other wonderful books. John will be on the call. Chad Hymas. There's potentially another special guest, and I'll have the privilege of being on there as well and talking about topics such as empathy. Fortunately, we were able to be a part of Kevin's book, and he'll be quoting some of the things from my book that are in his book. He's just a marvelous human being. It's going to be great to be with him tomorrow and hear of, I just can't wait to hear from John Maxwell. John is just a legend, just a great human being and just so down to earth. And it'd be wonderful to hear his words of wisdom tomorrow. If you'd like to join the call tomorrow, here's the phone number. I'll just have you write it down. 801-656-2240. That's 801-656-2240, and the PIN number, the access PIN number, is 045018-POUND. 045018-POUND. If you're an Augmandino client, we sent you an email today about this. You can also find it on my Facebook, Dave Blanchard on Facebook. Others have posted this information today as well. What a great opportunity to get together tomorrow and talk about Kevin's great book and those principles, those 10 words that are so powerful and have had such a tremendous impact on our life. As we finalize the book, Intentional Creation, I was just meeting with the printers today. It's so very exciting to get so close. As we're getting closer to this, it's just so clear that Kevin has his fingerprints in so many of these chapters. Words like inspire and genshai and humility, these are just such powerful words that he's added to our vocabulary with a very profound and deep meaning. So we're so grateful to Kevin, and it's going to be so exciting to be with him tomorrow night. So if you'd like to join that, join at 801-656-2240, PIN number 045018-POUND. Well, every Tuesday night we get together and we talk about these six qualities of an intentional creator. I want to give you a sneak preview into tomorrow's newsletter. This is the first of May newsletter for the Augmandino newsletter. I'm writing an article about it's time to get down and just have a good laugh. I mentioned a few times that Tuesday is one of my favorite days. We get to meet and have our celebration of life. And every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, I get to meet with our four married daughters. Ramona and I meet with them, and we coach these principles. And it's so fun to watch them take them on. As I wrote in the article that'll be in the newsletter, they'd want you to know that some days are better than others, and that some days can just be awful. The difference is that with the principles, they're able to handle some of those challenges. With small children, it's just going to be life, and some of it's interesting. And one of the things we did, just to have some fun a couple of weeks ago, I said, why don't you take a scroll that has special meaning to you, and do a little parody on it, have some fun. And each one of our daughters did that. One daughter did one on scroll 5, I'll live this day as if it is my last, and her parody is I'll live this day as if it were a blast, because she really has to convince herself with all those little rugrats running around that that's the case. Another one, I'll be the master of my emotions. Scroll 6, she said, I will create a masterful potion, so she's not a hag, which is kind of a fun scroll. Another one, Cindy wrote on scroll number 9, I will, scroll is I will act now, and she wrote, I will not snack now. I thought I'd read this couple of lines from this just to have some fun tonight. She said, my diet is worthless, my exercise dust, my goal weight impossible. All are of no value if they are followed by snack. I will not snack now. Never has there been a chocolate morsel I haven't consumed, no matter how motivated to diet I've been. Snack is the food and drink which hinder my success. I will not snack now. When I awake, I will say no to the cinnamon roll. I will repeat these words again and again. I will not snack now. I will not snack now. I will not snack now. Wait will not wait. If I delay, it will forever increase. This is the year. This is the gym. I am the woman. I will not snack now. Oh, have some fun with this newsletter when it comes out tomorrow. Each one of the ladies did a different one. Ramona had fun with hers. I also want to share with you just a couple of jokes that Cindy our youngest daughter, brought to the coaching session today, just so we can smile a little bit, because sometimes we're talking about these principles. Things get so heavy because we're trying to change these thought processes that want to drive us into the dungeons of despair and depression, and sometimes just a good cathartic laugh is so healing. Cindy sent these to me. She said, I intend to live forever. So far, so good. Incontinence hotline. Can you hold? The trouble with being a leader today is that you can't be sure whether people are following you or chasing you. Depression is merely anger without enthusiasm. Just when I get used to the day, along comes today. This is a fun one. Eagles may soar, but weasels don't get sucked into jet engines. Alcohol and calculus don't mix. Never drink and derive. And lastly, don't sweat the petty things, and don't pet the sweaty things. I would just ask as we go through our discussions tonight that we not make this too serious. These are important issues, and they do, in fact, impact our lives. But it's so important as we're going through self-improvement that we step back every once in a while and laugh, especially at ourselves, because we are most comical when we can't laugh at ourselves and our lives. So enjoy tomorrow's newsletter and just get a good guffaw out of it, a good cathartic laugh. Well, tonight we're going to take on the sixth quality of an intentional creator, self-esteem. We intentionally save this to the sixth quality because there are so many things that impact self-esteem that aren't necessarily due to life experiences. They might be just the way we've been thinking. We've talked in the past about mental rehearsal versus fantasy, and when we engage in fantasy and create an expectation, and life doesn't show up that way, we have a tendency to turn it inward, just for an example. So we've been working on all of these pieces, connecting with people and using our mind constructively and being present in the now and physical creation and feeling that sense of accomplishment and partnership with the power of creation. All of these steps to help us begin the process of healing self-esteem. And now tonight we're going to dig into the last few pieces and see if we can assist you in identifying what might be going on in your life. Now, sweetheart, could you get for me one of the assessments? Matter of fact, I'll just turn back here and see if I can grab one. Here we go. If you have your assessment handy, I'm going to have you just write these six measurements down. The first is whole and complete. Whole and complete is the most important measurement in the entire assessment. It's often challenged, and it's challenged for several reasons, and we'll talk about those in a moment. But whole and complete is being able to see the pricelessness, the uniqueness in ourselves. It's not based on what we do, what we believe. It's just our inherent, intrinsic value as a human being. And in the assessment, it says, if I said half the things to you, that some of your thought processes say to you, could we still be friends? This can be a really tough and sensitive measurement. The second one is confident. How do we feel about our ability? Our ability, our possessions, everything that's tangible, comparable, contrastable. That's our appearance, our possessions, our accomplishments, all of the things about us that are tangible. How do we feel about that, our ability? Third is valiant. And the question is, are we honoring our belief systems? Now, this isn't like I'm less than integrous. This might be I'm starting to doubt. I believed it worked this way. I thought it worked this way. It's always been my opinion that this is the way it's supposed to happen. But if life isn't showing up the way we had imagined, this can be a real challenge. So valiant. Now, let's go to the bottom half, all the way to the bottom, unconditional. Unconditional is being able to balance our strengths and our weaknesses. We don't focus on either one of them, overly focus. We just see them both. We're very healthy in our balance. The next one up is deliberate. Do we have a feeling that we need to sacrifice our time and our energy and even our well-being to somehow prove we're okay? To somehow create our dreams, those things that don't seem to be working quite as fast as we would like them to. And lastly, peaceful. When someone doesn't agree with us and they question our ideas, can we let them have their idea and be okay with letting them have an opinion without feeling like we have to sacrifice part of us to let them have their belief? Either we will feel like we're losing, or we might fight back if we feel that kind of a thought process out of balance. Now, keep in mind, this is kind of a new way of looking at the assessment. As you look at all of these measurements, think about them as glasses. So we put on the glasses of whole and complete, and we're looking at ourselves. What do we see? When we put on the glasses, you notice I can see myself just fine. Now I put on my glasses of confident. What am I seeing in terms of my ability? Am I really seeing my ability, or am I discounting it? I put on these glasses of valiant, of deliberate, of peaceful, of unconditional. What am I seeing in myself? Well, let's start taking this thing apart a little piece at a time. Quite often when we start getting into the self-esteem discussion, there is a tendency to go inward. They call it peeling the onion. We're going deeper and deeper inside looking for an answer. I want to read to you a paragraph from the new book. It says, some suggest that the secret to healthy self-esteem, complete with an overflowing cup, is found within. From looking inward. Many have engaged in this enticing practice of peeling away the proverbial layers of the onion and then peeling even more, in search of an increasingly deeper level of meaning and purpose, in search of self. While traveling this inward path, and this is a very sensitive issue, I don't want to offend anyone who's listening, I just want us to be open to a possibility. We often peel trying to uncover a past life circumstance that will justify or explain our unhappiness. Perhaps we will finally find the reason we cannot find ourselves. As we continue to peel, we can also project outward and blame others for our increasingly deeper and deeper levels of loneliness and emptiness. Where am I? Why am I so unhappy? I must be down here somewhere. We soon discover that this path rarely leads to personal accountability for behavior and taking personal responsibility for our happiness. Instead, it can become a bottomless pit of self-absorption. In the end, this peeling exercise generally creates only tears. Onions have a tendency of doing that. Now, just one more paragraph. When we go inward, we can also escape into mental monasteries of meditation in search of self. Now, this is a very delicate, very thin ice I'm walking on, but it's so important we go here for a moment. Quieting the mind is healthy when moments of stillness assist us in being grounded, clearer, and better prepared to engage in life. However, if we meditate seeking to have reality reflect these fleeting moments of serenity, we will be left reeling in agony from this form of peeling when faced with the daily grind of reality, in agony, reality, and the firestorms of life, which are unavoidable. In other words, do we go into meditation to escape, or do we go into meditation to get grounded and clear so that we're more capable of handling life? The test really comes when the challenges face us. Instead of a calm steadiness radiating from within, we can be angered by these disruptions to our tranquility. Peace of mind is powerful, but when we peel in pursuit of passive peace, the real intent is often little more than a cleverly disguised pursuit of ease. It just seems nobler. I'm going to share with you several ways to heal self-esteem. Introspection will be part of it. But let us be very careful that all that we do, that we don't go into these monasteries of our mind in meditation, trying to get reality to show up like this, because it won't. It's just not real. Let us go into meditation, because it's very powerful. It's important. Stillness, as I mentioned, is important. But stillness is important for us to get grounded and prepared. Now, if we can't go inward, if that's not where we go to find who we really are, the other option is that we start buying stuff. Most of us have been through one of these periods in our life. They call it the race car period, where we start getting more and more and more stuff, and maybe for a moment we feel better, maybe. But there's never enough stuff to really fill that empty hole in our soul. So we're not going to find it inward. We're not going to find it from the pursuit of things. So where do we find it? It says, we're nature's greatest miracle. No matter how loud, obnoxious, sabotaging, or as destructive our internal dialogue, no matter what our thoughts may want us to believe, no matter what we've done or what has been done to us, we are priceless and unique. Why can't we find self? Could it be possible that we we've been looking in all the wrong places? Going inward in search of solitude did not reveal self and fill our cup to overflowing. Our cup was drained with the first crisis. Going inward in search of answers for our unhappiness revealed only reasons why we can't find self. It's reading right from the book. Accumulation of stuff was fun, but certainly didn't reveal self. Are we finally ready to unlock the door to a healthy self-esteem? And I wrote in the book, I certainly was. It's time to leave behind vain attempts to imitate others and be real. It is time to awaken our natural genius. It is time to embrace our uniqueness. It is time to stretch and grow. It is time to change our focus, and here's a key, from what is wrong with me to how can I use my life experience to better serve others. I'll give you a hint where we're headed. Is it time to become the person we were designed to become? Is it time to find ourselves? How this is done may be a pleasant surprise. Let's start by exploring the causes. When we have challenges in our self-esteem, there are generally three primary reasons why. The first I referenced early on. Excuse my cough. I tried to get to the mute button. Number one is unmet expectations. It's the number one cause. And it is so prevalent right now, this pattern. I have taught this so many times. I know some of you are going, I don't want to hear it again. But we still keep doing it to ourselves. And so let us make a difference this time. Let us stop the process. And that is that we go into our mind and escape to a time when things are going to be better. We create an expectation, a concrete condition for happiness. Then life shows up differently, and it always does. The body goes into a reaction to protect that expectation. And we look around, and everyone looks okay. Everyone. What is wrong with me? Why is this not working for me? Do I not have ability? That's the confidence measurement. Am I not worthy? That's the whole and complete measurement. Maybe God doesn't even love me. That's the valiant measurement where we question our own belief systems. This is very common right now because not only those who engaged in fantasy, not only for those who may have engaged in escape wanting ease, we're starting to see this pattern among those who are natural, intentional creators. People who used to get a clear vision of possibility, come back here and just start creating, and they created it. However, with all the firestorms that are raging around us, things outside of their control, things are not happening the same way or as fast as they used to. And so we get discouraged with the length of time or the lack of traction. It's almost like our life is going through our fingers like water. And everyone looks okay. That seems to be a consistent pattern. And we start to turn inward. What is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? And when we go here, we do something that is so insidious. It could be helpful if we didn't do it so deeply. We do want to be personally accountable for our behavior. We do want to be. But this is to a fault. We look at every word we've ever spoken, everything we've ever purchased, every decision that can be questioned with 20/20 hindsight. And we point to it and say, that's the reason. That's why it's not working. That's why I'm not worthy. That's why I lacked ability in making wise decisions. That's why God's not blessing me. That's why it's not happening. And for the vast majority, this simply is not true. It's not true. Most of us did the best we could under the circumstances. Now, some have done some things they'll want to address and take care of in their lives. Maybe some trust they've violated or integrity issues. Sure, absolutely. Be accountable. But be very careful. This pattern of expectation, being discouraged with how long it's taking or where we are. I had the sweetest conversation in the last few days, I won't say more than the last few days, with a business owner who had spent a lifetime building a business, very successful business. It was going to be their retirement. They were going to sell it. And it was a sellable business. And this economy has just riddled it. It's down to barely supporting them. Multiple employees have been let go. Their dreams, their hopes, their retirement, gone. And that pattern's present. This is not the way it's supposed to turn out. What did I do wrong? Well, let us tonight embrace this possibility that it wasn't you. It wasn't you. That there is a very broad brush being painted across our economy. And good people who did it right, are in that kind of pain. And as we look around, let us make sure we know that we're not alone. We're just not. There are very few people who have missed out on this. Even those who are still okay don't have as much. This has been a painful time for so many. Let us see it for what it is. An opportunity for us to be healthy, to rise above firestorms, to be able to see opportunity, and to be in service for those who don't know the secret of controlling their mind, who are really tortured and tormented. Really tortured and tormented. We could rise above that by mastering our emotions. So that's the first and major cause of self-esteem challenges. But tonight, let us look at that differently. Again, most of the time, it's not us. And thinking that we're alone isolates us. And quite frankly, it impedes connection. Because we go around pretending we're okay. The people we talk to are pretending they're okay. And if you happen to be in a business, for example, you're in the multi-level marketing business and you're going to try to recruit somebody, and if you're pretending you're okay and your prospect is pretending they're okay and you're talking about a life-changing decision, chances are it is not going to happen. You might sell a product and get a monthly order, but it won't last more than 30 or 60 days. Because you're not in the place where those decisions are made and armed with the information to really serve people. Now, that's in direct sales. Same can be true for customers in retail. Can be for any service business. This is an interesting time. Number two, the second major cause of self-esteem comes when the fragile underpinnings of trust have been damaged. Now, it's important that we mention some of you on the phone tonight and on the video may, in fact, have had some experiences in your life that are so painful and so private and so difficult that it's going to be really important that you get into the hands of a professional, a therapist, who can guide you through those landmines. I'm a coach. I can help you when you're ready to move forward, but I'm not here to help you process through a situation. Now, when we talk in quality number one, which we'll pick up next week, we're going to talk about empathy, intuition, and those things we've been dragging around in our sack. We're going to talk about emptying that sack and taking those experiences, engraving them on our hearts, so that we now can use them to better serve others. When we're ready to do this, to stop being a victim and be a victor and use our experiences to serve, that's when we as coaches can serve you. The work prior to that is done by professional, trained therapists. Don't be ashamed if you need to go there. Some of us have been through some really difficult, traumatic moments. Awful. At moments in our lives when we were not prepared, we did not have the building blocks of life in place for the events that occurred. If you're in that space, be okay. It's time. It's time to take this one on. We'll talk in a few moments about what to do once it's in your heart. But that's the fragile underpinnings of trust. This can happen as a child. It can happen as an adult. Someone that violates a trust, breaks a confidence of serious nature, someone who's less than loyal in a relationship. These things can be so devastating. Make sure that you've worked through these. And just know that the time will come when you'll be able to use your life experience to serve another person in pain. Somebody shared this with me yesterday. They'd have a horrible morning. Something very painful happened. And she adopts the process. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. And at 3 o'clock that afternoon, that person was put on her path. And she knew exactly the questions to ask because she'd been through it that morning. Sometimes we go through painful experiences. We don't want to go through them again. We just, once is enough. But once we have, we're uniquely prepared to serve people struggling with something very similar. So there are some blessings for the challenges. I don't believe we get the challenges so we're prepared. I think they happen to us. Some things happen in life. Bad things happen to good people. What we do with them matters. How do we use them? Do we let them destroy our life, or do we use that experience to better serve another person? Well, the third cause of self-esteem challenges comes when something in our secret core, our very private self, this isn't even our family. This is at a deeper level than just family. This is what we do when we're by ourselves. If there is behavior that occurs here, eating disorders, alcohol, drug abuse, pornography addiction, all kinds of very secret things, it creates an interesting challenge. If you can look and say, well, here's the image that I present to the world. Here's my image. This is what I want them to see. This represents my secret self. This is what's going on in my private life. And these two can be very different. And the confusion is, which one am I? That's the self-esteem challenge. Am I this good person, or am I this despicable person that I just hate I feel so full of shame? Shame meaning sham, like a pillow sham, a covering. The cover is my genius and my goodness and my ability. Well, if you have any of these in your life, I want to share something with you very powerful. I want you to notice that if this were my facade and this were my secret self, I want you to notice who's looking at them. I am the observer. That's who I am. I'm not this, and I'm not this. This is probably closer to my potential. I'm the observer. And as an observer, I can step back and say, you know, this habit is crushing me. I haven't been able to control it. And we get to submit and surrender and go through the process of healing. Alcohol, drugs, eating disorders, pornography, wonderful 12-step programs available to help us accept and surrender this piece. Let's surrender it. And I become more and more healthy until I am the one standing before the people. That what happens in my core, what happens in my private life around my family, and what happens in public are all the same. Transparent, whole, and complete. Real, genuine, and authentic. Then we have no secrets. What a wonderful way to live. No secrets. That's the way we can heal that part of self-esteem. But those are the three primary causes. Now, we have some tethers. Dr. Hartman, who did our mathematics for the assessment, said, the objective, and this is simply stated, but our objective in self-esteem is to simply be, just to be. And then he said, real, which means to be comfortable having relationships, talking to people and connecting with them, to be real, to be genuine, genus, our genius, to embrace our gifts, to no longer procrastinate and then be surprised when our genius shows up and we take on a task, to really be all we can be all the time, free of that doubt and fear, to really truly be genuine, and to be authentic, anthosectic. That means to be our true self. Ramon and I, as we mentioned last Tuesday, we're going away for our monthly retreat this last weekend. What a glorious time together. We'll discuss this again in quality number two, mental rehearsal, when we talk about planning and goal setting. This is part of the planning and goal setting of turning a relationship into a partnership. We were driving back through Logan Canyon Sunday afternoon, and I said this to Ramona. I said, sweetheart, I have such faith in the human spirit. I've had the opportunity to coach with people who are in really difficult circumstances. Sometimes people who have done some really awful things in their life. And it's interesting that when we finally get to a common denominator, get to their heart, their soul, their authentic self, their real true self, where they're acting on their own moral authority. That means they're doing the next right thing for the right reason. There is such goodness in us, in all, such goodness. It's just thrilling to be with someone when they're in that space. Now, we do have habits of thinking. When we want to impress or pretend or feel ashamed or fear, those kinds of tethers get in our way, and sometimes we have overcompensating behaviors, anger, frustration, that fear, that shame, that cause us to do things that aren't healthy. What's exciting is, stripped of those unhealthy tethers, people are good. They're just good. Does that mean there isn't inherent evil in the world? No, there is. There are psychopathic people. These are not normal people. These are people with mental disorders. We could fairly put Osama bin Laden in that category. Inherently evil. It's interesting how good evil people are at being evil. And how difficult it is sometimes for good people to just be good. Those crazy people like bin Laden are so good at being intrinsically awful. So there are exceptions. But amongst normal people, it's so rewarding. And it's interesting how we can be so rebellious and so resistant so resentful, carrying all kinds of habits of unhealthy thinking, and it takes a while to kind of get through all that stuff to get to that authentic person. But it's been my experience in 25,000 hours of coaching that it's been in every person I've coached. It is so wonderful to know that all of us are priceless and unique. Oh, if we could let go of the need to have fear that holds us back, to feel shame, to try to pretend that everything's okay when it's not, to try to impress others that things are, you know, what little we have is bigger than it is. Oh, when we go into these places and we do really foolish things, what a tragedy. But impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. Because this is what Dr. Hartman said. The objective is to be real, genuine, and authentic without the need to impress, pretend, feel shame, and fear. This, he said, is the most difficult task in our mortal existence. And then he punctuated it with this. And the highest level of maturity. Well, that's our objective. Real and genuine and authentic. Whole and complete. Comfortable in our skin. Able to talk to anyone, anywhere. Just be comfortable. At peace. Let's talk about how we get there. The very first thing we're going to want to do is love ourselves. Yeah, love ourselves. And this is a different kind of love for self. I'm just scrolling down because I want to read something to you from the book that's so fun. He says, self-love, I say he, in the book it says, self-love is more about reference for the infinite and intrinsic gift of life, starting with our own. It is more about honoring and magnifying the gifts that have been given than lamenting the ones that seem to be missing. It is more about focusing on contribution to the world than the endless accumulation of things. Now, I want to talk about the very first thing we do to heal self-esteem. And it has to do with loving ourselves, but in a very different kind of way than like Gaston. I talk about the classic Beauty and the Beast and how he exemplified the antithesis of self-love. His pathetic character was so self-absorbed that his obnoxious antics repelled Belle, a self-respecting, self-confident, and deeply grounded woman. That's not the kind of self-love we're talking about. This is a very special kind. And here it is. Oh, if I could communicate this to you tonight, we would ease so many burdens. I'm going to do my very best. Here we go. Each one of us has been given a certain amount of clay. That's our life experiences. Some people say those are the cards we're dealt. Friday night I'm going to dinner with a good friend. Ramona and I are, and his father created a wonderful business his brothers inherited. Always worked hard. But it's worth millions, millions, millions. My father, bless his heart, has got enough money to retire on barely. And he'll probably spend it all before he dies. And I probably won't inherit anything. I'm okay with that. That's the truth of my circumstances. What's the truth of yours? I didn't finish college. Hope that doesn't offend anyone. I went to college to play football. Back then, I was so excited. And then I discovered that I wasn't going to be able to play professional football. Broke my shoulder, broke my hand, tore up my knee, destroyed my ankle, all in 1 year of college football. It was over. It was done. My physical prowess, or lack thereof, finally met what was required to play at that level. This was an interesting time. I was able to take that experience and put it into the financial services industry. And I'm 22 and I'm making $150,000 in 1975. That wasn't too bad. Never looked back. I've always been a student, but a great regret. Didn't finish college. Now, I could go back now at 57, yes. But that's part of the clay I'm dealing with. As we deal with the economy, we build our company. Everybody's had some interesting experiences. That's part of the clay. I inherited my mother's physique. My mother's 5'3 and quite heavy. My father's 6'4 and skinny as a rail. My son Danny's tall and skinny as a rail. I could eat carrots for a year and not lose 10 pounds. It's part of the clay I've been given. What's your clay? I look at my sweetheart next door, just sitting right here next to me. Love her with all my heart, and she loves me. That's part of the clay I've been given. That's a good part, isn't it? What's your clay? You may have a relationship that's in challenge. You might have finances. You might be losing a house. You might have a business that's failing. It's part of your clay. You might have health challenges. What's your clay? Because one of the greatest ways of healing self-esteem is to know your clay, to know it, warts and all, challenges, frustrations, all of it. What is your clay? Because almost always we want somebody else's. This is one of the great destroyers of self-esteem. Is walking around in life wishing we were someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. We are where we are. This is the truth of our circumstances. Now, this isn't for us to acquiesce and say, well, I guess I'm going to give up. This isn't at all about giving up. It's not about wallowing in our woes. It's about building a ladder on a solid foundation and then beginning to take a step up one rung at a time. We cannot create our lives with somebody else's clay. No matter how much we hate ours, one thing we can be guaranteed is if we do, we will not amount to very much. Because our focus is on resentment and rebellion, frustration, and not creation. When you go to bed tonight, lie in bed and just take an inventory. Everything that's true about your current life, financially, relationships, educational, health, everything. Here's my life. Here's my clay. Here's my clay. That's step one. And step two is the one that frees your self-esteem forever. I choose my clay. What's the other choice? I don't want my clay. I want somebody else's clay. Every one of those leads to self-esteem challenges. Just hold it in your hands tonight. I choose my clay. I choose it. Because until we know it and we choose it, we will not begin the process of creating the most we can with the clay we've been given. The most we can with the clay we've been given. our circumstances can shift dramatically when we make this decision. A couple of reasons. One, we're now moving upward. We're not building on a foundation of fantasy. We're on bedrock, no matter where it is, no matter how deep we had to go to get there. We're building on bedrock. And we're working our way up now. And there is no ceiling to what we can create with our clay. And for this reason, I remember sharing this a few weeks ago and having this exact same emotional moment. So I'll just be with you for a moment. When we know our clay, when we choose our clay, when we begin to focus on creating as much as we can with our clay, there is a miracle that occurs. And it only occurs when we follow this pattern. The miracle is this. That power which is greater than us, that force of creation that gave us our gifts in the first place, our clay, now gives us more. Do you want different clay? The secret, great secret, know your clay. Choose your clay. And then be creating as much as you can with it. Avoiding your circumstances, your life, your clay, will not resolve challenges. And many of them have happened because we have been pretending, impressing, feeling fear and shame, wanting to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. That's one of the beautiful things about this moment in history. We now get to face the truth of us. That's not to punish us. It's so we can begin to create with it and be endowed with even more. This is the first and probably most important thing we can do to begin to heal our self-esteem. Now, how do we create as much as we can with our clay? Well, next week, we're going to go back into the art of connection with people. And we're going to talk about how to intrinsically validate people, how to step into their world and focus on others using all of our life experiences as a reference point. We get to show up. We, in all our clay shows up. And we get to begin to be in the service of others. And we begin to be a partner with a power greater than ourselves, that force of creation. I call God. Whatever name you'd like to assign. Then we're going to go into quality number two, mental creation. And in mental creation, we're going to lose destructive uses of our thoughts. We're going to use our mind constructively. Now, let's get this really, really into our minds tonight. We're going to learn how to connect with the power of creation itself and use our vivid visualization to receive, have manifest to us, inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems that ignite our passion, passion that then in quality three, physical creation, will drive our focus and discipline, effort and action in creating intangible reality, that which we have seen so clearly in our minds. And every time we get an inspired idea, we act on it, and the validity of that idea is verified. We gain greater and greater trust. We are known. We are trusted. And we trust. That really is the ultimate healer of self-esteem. So there are the four ways we love ourselves by knowing, owning, and creating the most we can with the clay we've been given. We come back next week and we begin to learn how to connect with people, and we really aggressively apply this in our lives. and we begin to see the miracles that occur when we do. Three, the mental creation. And four, physical creation. We get that sense of accomplishment. We begin to know about our own genius. We're endowed with more genius. People are put on our path who can serve us and who we can serve. We are actively participating in abundance, that sacred process. We, me, you, we matter. We've embraced life. We've engaged in life. We've embraced principles. We're connecting with people. We're creating value. We're contributing to the world. We matter. You'll never find yourself peeling away layers of an onion looking for the reasons why you're unhappy. Instead, own your clay. Create what you can with it. Connect with people. Use your mind constructively. And take passion-driven action. This is how we heal self-esteem. Now, we also have some wonderful affirmations that are part of the intentional creation tools. If you go to your intentional creation studio, when you log in, you can go to quality number 6. In the middle column, the very first thing says your assessment. Those are the 6 measurements I mentioned, with a little bit more information. Then affirmations. These are all the balanced power statements around each one of these measurements to assist us in being able to embrace who I really am, the observer of these thought processes. Just now we've been putting on some of these glasses long enough. We have been seeing ourselves through foggy lenses. Let's take them off. Let us be real and genuine and authentic. Now we'll go back and start the process next week. It is next month. It's May. Isn't this very exciting? Wow, it's May of 2011. So almost unbelievable. We'll begin that process next week. And go through those 3 qualities that help us. But let us make the decision between now and next week, tonight, to take that inventory. This is our clay. This is it. Don't be discouraged by it. Examining it doesn't make it worse than it is. It just reveals the truth of the clay. It's the truth of it. Here's the truth of our situation. Now let's build a ladder and begin the process on a solid foundation of creating as much as we can with that which we've been given. And there will be a very precious feeling into your soul. You'll feel it. You'll start to feel you. You'll know who you are. You begin to own your power and your strength, your natural genius, and your natural goodness. Well, this week, while you're pondering these principles, study scroll number 4. I'm nature's greatest miracle. Og teaches us in this scroll that we're individual in terms of our writing and our eyes, our features. We're also unique in our talents. And we're also terribly unique as human beings because we can step back and focus all of our energy on the task at hand. We can bring our body and our mind together. Great gift of a human being. Let us study this scroll and take on our lives. And come back next week. I'm going to close with what happened in our coaching session with our daughters today. We've been all the way through all the 6 qualities and talked through them and processed them. And we've been coaching together now, about 18 weeks, something like that. And now we're going to take each chapter of the book. And by the way, you can go to ogmandino.com and go to Og for the 21st Century, and you can download the first 2 chapters of the book. And then go to the free assessment and download the 3rd chapter. So you get the first 3 chapters of the new book, and then read Pivotal Moments of Surrender, and the rules have changed, and find out about the new rules. We're going to go back through this one chapter at a time. Everybody's going to read it, and then we're going to come back and talk about it. with this intention, that this time around, it's not just about learning it and beginning to practice it. It's now time to start mastering it, truly shifting thought processes so that we can show up differently in the world. Let us all do that. Next week, we're going to start all over again with quality number one. Come to next week's session ready, owning your clay, ready to take on your life so that you can rise above whatever firestorms you're experiencing and find out the abundance that awaits you. Well, thanks, everybody. It's been great to be with you tonight. Join us next tomorrow night on that call with Kevin Hall. Again, that number is 801-656-2240. The PIN number is 045018#. That can also be found on my Facebook page, Dave Blanchard. I'll be there with Kevin Hall tomorrow night, John Maxwell, and Chad Hymas. It's going to be a wonderful event starting at 6 o'clock Mountain Daylight Time. We'll see you then. And we'll see you next Tuesday night for the next edition of Celebration of Life. Thanks, everyone, and good night.